Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Memorial Day weekend. Get ready for a cookout. Have some drinks. Hang out a little bit. It is a fantastic time right now. So let's continue what we were talking about. That we were talking about the idea: where does James Harden sit, and then who would you play the next 5 years for? And I'm here to tell you right now that LeBron James is still not a bad pick. He's not the first pick over the next 5 years, because if you would have said, "Hey, listen, here's a guy that's played 17 seasons. He's made 16 All-Star games. He's a three-time champ. He's a four-time MVP, yada, 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 15 times All-NBA. You would think that dude is really close to the end of the line. But if you roll this back 5 years, you would have said, you know what, 5 years from now, in 2015, if you would have said in 2020, is LeBron James still going to be the best player in the league? I think most people say, no, probably not. He'll still be a good player, but maybe not the best player. I'm done thinking that LeBron could be done. We've talked about Tom Brady and Drew Brees and all these other guys that have pushed Father Time back. He's going to get him eventually, but you keep putting him back. LeBron James spends more money on his health, on his body, on his game, on himself than anybody could have ever imagined 10 or 20 years ago. The limits of the human experience are kind of unknown with a guy like this. He's not the first pick, but he sure as hell is not a bad pick five years from now.
Here's what I would say, Travis. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have personally said that he was done at this time. I wouldn't.
That's different. Done is different than best player in the league, which he still arguably is.
Well, he's in that conversation with a handful of guys as the best player in the league, which is a testament to itself. But I think that when we're talking about 5 years from now, I would think not only would he be tired of being the top dude, he would be at some point running the motions. If you told me 2 to 3 years from now, would he still be at the top of the Heat? I could say, yeah, he probably 2 to 3 years. But five years from now, LeBron James is not going to be the top guy in the NBA 5 years from now. So for me to select him, I could do that and take a flyer on the last 2 years of the five. And those are just rocking chair gifts, you know, in – those sort of things for him, those last 2 years.
Do you think he's going to have an ending similar to Kobe? Because Kobe's drop off with the injuries, obviously, was pretty precipitous. That when he started to get hurt, he continued to get hurt, and his production declined. Is that where LeBron is at? Because LeBron has been remarkably healthy.
No, I don't think LeBron's situation is going to be injury ridden. I think it's going to be, I'm tired.
Desire.
This is like, man, I done won five championships. I done been to like 11, 12. You know, it's just like, man, I'm so tired. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like, man, I'm just going to spend some time with my family now. I'm enjoying this thing. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be more of that than it is I'm broken down. I can't play anymore. Because if Kobe Bryant could still have played, I mean, Kobe would still be playing right now if he wasn't hurt. Kobe would still, because that's what he wanted to do. I don't necessarily know if that's what LeBron James is going to want to do.
Well, if the reports are true and there's a desire to play with his son, I think that might answer some of your questions. If there's a situation where Bronny makes it in the league and LeBron can still go, he's going to stick around and make that history and he's going to go. The question is whether or not he can maintain this perfect balance of which what you can do physically can still support what you know mentally. You know, when you think about the 40-year-olds, and I just looked at the list, who play in the NBA, most of them were multi-time All-Stars, and they were definitely Hall of Famers. The question is with LeBron James is he okay with being that dude giving you 10 to 15 points a night coming off the bench? That's the question. It isn't simply will he accept the role that a 40-year-old LeBron James is likely to get?
There's another angle to this too, guys, that Kiki, because I think you're right. The idea of the want, right? The wanting to prepare to do this, to go play an 82-game season, in LeBron's case, far more games than that. But think about what we were getting ready to watch before the NBA got temporarily shut down. We were getting ready to watch LeBron and Anthony Davis go on a championship run, and maybe they got it, and maybe they didn't. You know, we'll hopefully find out before too long. But think about who he's going to be with over the next 5 years. Anthony Davis can carry a lot of water. Anthony Davis can go out there and be the guy a whole bunch of times, like we talked about coming into the season. And those two guys fit each other really well. So he doesn't have to be the guy that's doing everything night in and night out. If they start winning championships or getting close to winning championships and he's still got that guy running with him, hell yes, he can still play another five and want to play another 5 years because they're going to be good. Those two guys together, I can't see a scenario where those two guys aren't competing as the best team in the Western Conference or near it, or the best team in the NBA or near it.
Well, five years is just such a long time. And I understand he wants to play with his son. His son is, if you do the math right, LZ, could be – I mean, I'm assuming he could be a one-and-done if we're talking like that with this one-and-done rule coming. So that would be 3 years from now. Where he would be a one and done, that would be, 3 years from now, because he's leaving his freshman year. He would be a sophomore, junior, senior. So basically be 4 years from now, which would come close to that fifth year. He could essentially hang around to do it. I guess he could, but I don't think that he'll be at that top four or five player in the NBA type situation. Because eventually guys like Zion, you got to make room for him if he continues to grow, right? You're going to have to make room for Ben Simmons if he continues to grow. You're going to have to make room for what's our guy in Utah, Donovan Mitchell. You're going to have to make room for him. I mean, Tatum. So there's going to be guys like that that are going to continue to get
Tatum
better.
And Zion are good, but I'll tell you right now, you want five more years of LeBron James or whatever Ben Simmons might give you, give me LeBron. I'm taking him 10 times.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but – I'm talking about their growth and their maturity in the game and getting better. They're certainly not going to be the same player, at least the organizations hope they're not the same players today. I mean, tomorrow as they are today, they're going to grow. And as they grow, you would only think the guys that are already at the top is going to come down some. Therefore, they're going to surpass them is what I'm saying.
Dang, man. You trying to tell me Dak Prescott had zero game-winning drives in 2019?
Sorry, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, and if there's a $175 million deal on the table that he said no to, I don't know what the hell's going on.
LZ, because LZ,
trying to tell you, LZ.
LZ, let's stop.
I just glanced at ESPN.
I know, but don't fall for a guy that's doing his job in the computer room pulling up stuff that don't even really matter at the end of the day.
My son can pull that up.
How does that not matter?
Because maybe he wasn't in a situation to have a game-winning drive that it did, or maybe he was and it failed once or twice, or maybe he wasn't in the situation another 14 times. I don't like false statistics. That's a false statistic. Oh, you never have game-winning drive. Doesn't mean anything.
But Key, here's
sure
the deal.
It does.
Here's the deal. What if the team
wasn't in that situation?
Then he's part of the problem for not getting it.
Thank you, Travis.
This is the deal right here. This is the deal. You can't have a scenario
in
which Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Westbrook put fear in your heart at the end of games because they've shown you they've done it, and then you got a QB.
It would be Russell Wilson, not Westbrook. He plays basketball.
Yeah, good try. You're trying to deflect. The reality is that Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell, these guys all put fear in your heart at the end of games. So
I understand,
but
look, but look, check this out though. I almost called you something, but look,
Coach.
I wasn't gonna call. I was gonna be derogatory. I was gonna be derogatory and get into trouble. Then you're gonna call me a coordinator. I was gonna have to issue an apology and all sorts of stuff.
if you were offended, I apologize.
My emotions got the best of me, and I said something I probably shouldn't. I apologize.
Look, LZ. To those that I have offended.
Exactly.
But look, so when you talk about those quarterbacks, right? They've been in the league for a long time. They've had those opportunities many times over. But if you're saying solely last year, that's not real, man, because he could have been in a situation or not have been in a situation. What if he was in a situation? Let's assume he was in a situation three or four times last year on game-winning drives and something happened that the left tackle whiffed and he got hit, boom, ball out, game over. Not his fault. That's all I'm saying. Don't fall for that.
LZ and Travis, I watch every single Cowboy game.
I can pull up stuff that says he outrushed every quarterback in the league except Lamar Jackson. Ooh, I can't believe that he did that. Come on, man.
And Travis, I watched every single Cowboy game. There were situations where there were game-winning drives. We needed the quarterback to step up and be Aaron Rodgers or to be a Russell Wilson, and Dak failed. Not saying it's all his fault, but he had multiple opportunities, plenty, and he doesn't do it.
I only brought that up because ESPN flashed it on the screen, and I think it matters. I think it matters because and this is why. One, the fear that struck in the heart of other players when you think about them. If Aaron Rodgers has 30 seconds left, you're scared. Why they show it? But it also matters when it comes to Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott has 14 career game-winning drives. So he didn't have any last year, but he has 14 game-winning drives in his first 3 years in the league. So
LZ.
He's great in that situation.
And they're probably against losing teams.
That's fine. Raj, be quiet.
I think it's great, you know, that they found that stat, and I thought it was interesting that none happened last year, but he still had 14 in his career so far, which is a lot.
Man, you can make up any statistics you want with a damn computer, man. Will y'all stop?
The key.
Will y'all just don't key me.
Let's stipulate this. Let's say that you're right. Okay, fine. You can make up whatever statistic you want. Let's just go purely on the eyeball test. Dak Prescott does not bring that level of anxiety if you're rooting for the other team.
We both have all agreed to that before, Travis. He does not strike fear in you at the end of the game.
So then why is he asking to be paid like he's Aaron Rodgers?
It's his time. It's the market. What is he supposed to walk in and say, well, give me $100 million, I'll take it?
No, he's supposed to find the number that's a little bit more than the last guy because that's where his game lies.
That's not his positioning and his representative's position.
And that's why it's not done.
It's not done because they can't get on the same page today. Dude, you got 6 or 7 weeks before he has to sign the franchise tag agreement. Why do you want him to sign today before Memorial Day weekend so he can have another party?
I don't care if it's done today or tomorrow or last week or next month.
Just get it done.
The point is the number. Get it done and stop pretending that you are the next coming of Joe Montana because you're not.
Okay, that's fine.
If the 175 is a real number, that's a ridiculous jump forward from the last guy.
Here's what I'm going to say, man. You cannot and I will not allow you to place – athletes in situations based on money. Because if that's the case, why in the hell did the Rams play Jared Goff and the Eagles play Carson Wentz at the time, record-breaking numbers, because they wasn't the second coming of Joe Montana or the second coming of Tom Brady, but they certainly got paid. Man, I don't care. They didn't win, and he had nothing to do with the playoffs. He only helped them in a regular season.
Nick Foles took them
to the Super Bowl.
Far more accomplished than Dak Prescott.
Oh, stop, Travis. Stop
what? What's wrong about that?
It's the guy's turn to get paid. It's his turn.
So he gets double the last guy or 80% more. Whatever the number is.
That's the deal. That's the business we're in.
I'm going to go to Amanda. I'll be like, girl, it's my time to get paid.
If you continue to drive up the ratings and you continue to do the things that you're doing, and stay out of harm's way and not allow people like Bergman to get in your way, you will certainly be able to go to Amanda and tell Amanda and tell Tim McCarthy it's time.
It's my time.
And if it's not, then I will go to the local station down the street.
All right. We just finished up a 10-parter on Michael Jordan. How about a 9-parter on one of the other goats? You hear from that? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
I was about to say to you, General Lee and Buckwheat, check this out for 1 minute. I want y'all to listen to me. When you talk about why Dak Prescott deserves some type of money, you look at the value of the teams, right? We talk about how Tom Brady is value to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on and off the field. When you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, there's value added to that for Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. That's worth probably another, you know, that might be another $10, $15 million a year alone just off the field because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. That is part of it. It's the value of the team. The team is the most valued team in professional football. He happens to be the quarterback of that team, so therefore he's going to be paid as
no
such.
No one's suggesting that he should be paid minimum wage. No one's arguing that he shouldn't be the next highest paid quarterback. I completely agree with the idea that it's his turn. I completely agree with the idea of he's in Dallas, and that comes along with some sort of premium. I get that. But he wants to get paid like he's Patrick Mahomes. And that's where the disconnect is. Not that he should take nothing.
No, he's not going to be paid like he's Patrick. No, because Patrick Mahomes is going to get $300 million. So hey, it's not the it's not the same. Patrick Mahomes is going to get – if he gets $175, Patrick Mahomes is going to get $275. And then Deshaun Watson going to get $250. That's what's going to happen. He ain't going to be close to them. But he's separating himself from the guys that went behind, the guys that went in front of him. So when Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson go, they're going to be leaps and bounds in front of him.
It just feels as if, you know, the Dallas Cowboys find them in a position that, and Raj knows this because we talked about it, when it was, quote unquote, Matt Stafford's turn. And he asked me how I felt about it, and I was like, I wouldn't pay him. I would rather start over than tie up that money with someone who's already proven to you what they can and cannot do.
But here's what I would say. Here's what I would say as the only guy, and pull a player card again, as the only guy who's caught balls from professional quarterbacks in the NFL, when I look at Matthew Stafford and I look at Dak Prescott, I feel Dak Prescott can lead my team, but I never felt that Matthew Stafford could lead the team. I'm just telling you. I feel that Dak Prescott can. What's the difference? It's just it's more about the construction of the organization, the players around him as a whole, defensive line, offensive line, coaching staff, just
but that's
everything.
Not a Matt Stafford thing. That's a staff thing.
No,
right?
No, but it's not a Matthew Stafford thing, but it is a Matthew Stafford thing because the coaches and the players around you all come together in your energy and everything together makes you feel a certain way when you play in that position. Matthew Stafford never makes me feel like, okay, he got the team. The team is rallying around him. They rolling with him. That doesn't feel that way. Dak Prescott, it feels that way to me. It feels like he is a part of the team.
But
the dude
the
is hosting parties during COVID-19 and teammates are there. So it just feels that way.
But when Matt Stafford was getting ready to sign his contract, you told me they had to pay him because it was his time.
Yes, that is true. You got to pay him because it's his time.
And my point is that is a really bad way to run an organization.
You won't be winning no championships nor running no organizations because when it's their time,
well, neither
it's
has
time.
Detroit Lions, which is my point.
Well, that's something different, though. They picking receivers at number one overalls and five years in a row, man.
If you just flipped it, let's just use your example, Keith. Let's just say you flipped it. You put Matt Stafford in Dallas. You put Dak Prescott in Detroit. Is it the same thing? Does Dak Prescott
put
up bananas?
No, I'm not going to feel.
Numbers?
No, I ain't going to really feel like. I ain't going to really feel. I ain't going to really feel like Matt. I don't feel like Matthew Stafford is that dude like that.
But would Dak Prescott go to Detroit and put up, you know, video game numbers? Matt Stafford's numbers are really good.
Yeah,
his
numbers are good. But when you walk in the huddle, do you really feel Matthew Stafford?
No.
But when I walk in the huddle, I'm going to feel like Dak Prescott is here. I'm going to feel that way as a player with him. I am. I'm just telling you, I am. I'm not going to feel that way with Matthew Stafford.
Then you're going purely on faith, Key, that you're going purely on the idea that you think he's that guy because there's no points of data that support what you're saying.
And he's shown where he's won games in the end in his NFL career. Last year's statistics, you can pull him up off a computer, man. I can tell you right now, based on a year ago statistics, or career numbers better yet, entering into last year, his numbers was better than Jared Goff's and Carson Wentz's.
They're virtually identical. They're about the
same. No, they're not identical because he had better rushing numbers than both of them and scoring numbers than both of them on the ground. So his numbers were better.
And wins fewer games.
No, win total was pretty damn close to theirs as well.
Not in the playoffs.
So all you got to do is you want to break those numbers and do all of that down. It's easy to do.
Okay, I just want to say one thing you've taught us is that coaches can be lazy. You've said that, like they don't want to coach. They want to take somebody that is lazy. You know, they don't want to do all the coaching. saying it's time to overpay someone just because it's their time, that sounds lazy.
But it's not overpaying him. It's not overpaying him. It's the market. And it's the market he's going to get paid. He's going to make his money. It's like being in New York, man. It's the same day. When you're in New York, you get pushed up. When you're in San Francisco, you get pushed up. Certain markets and teams dictate certain pay. When you play for the L.A. Lakers and you're the guard of the Lakers, you're going to get your money when you're a big dog.
I understand that, Keith. I understand that. My only issue is, and the reason why I used the Matt Stafford conversation was, is that once you've gotten a litmus test, you ask yourself, yes, this is how much a starting QB, a franchise QB, would cost a franchise. But do I want to give this money to that guy?
But
if I feel secure, hold on. If I feel secure in it, then sure, fine. Personally, I didn't think he was worth the money, and it seems as if he's given me reasons to feel that I was correct. But I wouldn't have had a problem giving that money to another QB that gave me the sense of peace that he could leave the franchise. So I'm okay with the "it's his time" mentality. What I'm not okay with is saying it's his time, and because this is the person we have, then I need to give him that money.
You can find somebody else. What else you gonna do?
Find someone else.
You can't. They're not available. They're not there.
You can start over all the time.
And then you used to go ahead and start over and watch how. Go, I dare you to start over. Go ahead.
Keith, to your point about they're typically not there, but in this particular case, he is. Cam Newton's right there.
Yeah, but that ain't. It's not the same. No, you got this dude. I know this dude. I know who this dude is. He's young. He's this. He's that. Yeah, you can swap him out for Cam Newton if you decided to do that, right? Then what if Cam Newton goes in and his back goes out?
What if Dak back goes out?
But it doesn't.
I mean, it's my injury.
He doesn't.
Anyone can get injury.
But one has a history. One does not. One has a history. One does not. You're not going to get rid of Dak Prescott for Cam Newton. And then all of a sudden something happens to Cam. Now what?
You got Andy Dalton.
Oh, man, that's stop, man. Move on, man. Tell me about what you was going to talk about, Travis, because y'all taking this thing in circles, man.
if that is not what a backup is for, Key, in case the starter get hurt.
But why would I want Andy Dalton to be my quarterback and not Dak Prescott? If that was the case, I'd just make Andy Dalton the damn quarterback.
The question isn't Andy Dalton or Dak Prescott. Everybody that's got two eyeballs would take Dak Prescott in this. I mean, the question is, Why do I want to run the risk of
taking a chance with an injury-prone quarterback when I got a purely healthy quarterback that has shown me continuous progress at the position? Why would I do that?
Hold up then. Then why are you trying to get rid of Jared Goff for Cam Newton?
No. I ain't never tried to get rid of Jared Goff for no Cam Newton. I say if the Rams are serious about doing that, that's going to cause some noise bringing him into Los Angeles. I ain't never said get rid of Jared Goff for Cam Newton. No, I would bring Cam Newton to the Chargers, absolutely, because Cam Newton is better than Tyrod Taylor and both Justin Herbert. And he is better than them. He is better than them, and they're ready to win. I can take a chance on Cam in L.A. Charger land. I cannot take a chance on him going to Dallas when I got a fully healthy quarterback that has shown me progress. I ain't seen nothing from Tyrod Taylor, and I have not seen anything from Justin Herbert. Those are two different things. So don't you dare try to burg me.
What I'm trying to do is just remind you of the words that came out of your mouth.
I know what came out of my mouth. I ain't never said the Rams should get Cam Newton over Jared Goff. I ain't never said that. That was not the conversation we were having. The conversation is whether or not
the
Rams should sign Jared Goff. And I said if they sign Jared Goff, it's going to create a problem. Cam Newton is going to create a problem, which it is, because the moment that Jared Goff does something that he shouldn't do, the first thing people are going to do is look to number one and say, Cam Newton is walking around the sideline. He looks like he's looking for his helmet. That is going to create a problem.
So, again, following your logic, why would you want to bring in a quarterback who's injury prone when you have a guy who's shown you he's competent and that he's not injury prone?
Ryan Miller, goalie for the Anaheim Ducks, has a program going on here in Southern California to benefit some people in need. He is going to join us next to tell us about that. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, so we're waiting for sports to get back going again. There's a proposal out there for a little 2014 tournament in the NHL. Joining us right now to talk a little bit about that, some other things going on here in the community, is Anaheim Ducks goalie Ryan Miller joining us on the Spring People's Hotline. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. What's happening?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? What are you doing to stay in shape? What are you doing to keep your mind sharp for the return of the NHL season?
Oh, man. Not enough. It's hard to stay sharp. It's been a weird couple months, hasn't it?
No, it really has. Have you had a chance to hit the rink and get some skating in, or are you using rollerblade? Like, what are you doing to keep them legs and that blood flowing?
No, we can't access the rinks. That's the crazy part. You know, we rely so much on so many people, you know, to operate. And they've told us specifically, you know, we can't use the training facilities, and then any other options like that I would turn to are, you know, have been closed. Employees are not working. So it's been difficult. It's been mainly like at home kind of workouts, some cosmic kids yoga with my 5-year-old, stuff like that.
Well, no, that part of the cardio and the yoga and things like that. And I'm not, obviously, clearly, I'm not an ice skater, and I've never, other than going to a few rinks during Christmas time for 30 minutes at a time. Is there any way to simulate that? Can you get on roller skates and do side to side? I mean, like, I don't know. You got to explain this to me.
Yeah, it's funny. It seems like it should be the same, but it's very different. And, of course, playing goalie doesn't translate too well from that, you know, that slippery surface to anything else. So, it's kind of like we're kind of stuck in limbo. Not really anything you can do that's, you know, sports specific. You know, it's all simulations, and just stay as close to in shape as you can. And I think for me, in that advanced sporting age, it's really not bad for me to have a little bit of downtime. Like, I mean, this is the first time I haven't taken, you know, shots for, you know, I guess like a 2-month break. I'd never really had that. Even I had wrist surgery like 2 summers ago, and at 6-7 weeks, I was like, okay, I need to just get on the ice. So this is like the longest I've not abused that wrist, and it's been kind of nice. So I'm looking at it from that perspective, and then just trying not to worry too much about it.
Ryan, you know, you mentioned trying not to worry too much about that. Obviously, there are people worrying about all sorts of crazy things going on right now, the environment they're in. I know that you are auctioning off some of your older equipment, some of the pads and the gloves and the blockers and whatnot, and those proceeds are going to benefit the Second Harvest Food Bank down here in Orange County. What made you decide you wanted to do that?
Well, I was really impressed with the way the first thing that kind of happened when things kind of went sideways and we knew there'd be a pause is I thought our team handled it amazingly. Like our players immediately were like, what's going to happen to all the employees? And we started talking about what we could do. And, you know, a couple of guys really, led the charge on that. I thought that was awesome. You know, Cam Fowler and Getzlaff and Manson, like a lot of guys were throwing things out there like, hey, there's going to be people who are going to need some help. So that kind of came around, and Samuel, he stepped up big and took care of all the employees through the end of June. And so we put our efforts into getting some money and into providing meals to the people who are, you know, nurses and doctors. And that worked out really well. So I just kind of inspired by that and thinking, you know, what else can I do to a group that's going to be vulnerable? And it just seemed like, you know, as this plays out, the economic impact is going to have, a big part of this story. So, you know, who's going to be vulnerable and how can we help? And I just thought, you know, if we can get a conversation started about, you know, helping the people in the community who are, you know, going to be hard up for a little while here, and they're going to be having access food for their families. I always think a good way to start a conversation is do something a little bit lighter. So, you know, auction off some of my gear, get a conversation going, and raise some good money. And yeah, we had a good response so far. We're auctioning off some of the old gear that I would normally just have, in storage in the bags. And I think people will like to get their hands on that.
Well, hopefully you're going to run those through a dry cleaner or something, because anybody that's ever been in a hockey locker room,
sweet Jesus, it's the worst smell ever.
Please tell me you ran some Clorox over that
stuff. Authentic.
Oh, God. That is the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life, is walking into a locker room in the NHL after a game.
Why though? What's any different than
because of the pads and the gloves?
The pads, yes.
It's just
it's probably the gloves. Honestly,
it's like the most awful smell I've ever had. But being philanthropic isn't something that's new to you. You also have the Steadfast Foundation. Is that still running? And if so, how difficult has it been to keep that thing going during this time?
Yeah, we're still going. We put ourselves it was big in Buffalo because I had more of a platform. And then as I moved on, it kind of went into like sleep mode where we did as much as we could. And we just didn't make as many big commitments. We just raised what we could for some specialized groups. But the good thing about having that foundation in place, everything's been filed with, the proper authorities for over a decade. And we have a lot of infrastructure in place and like a website already in place. And we had the capability to run online fundraising and auctions already. So it's not like we're going to, ramp up and have to incur more costs. And, more money is going to, come out of this and get right to the people who need it, because we already have all the infrastructure in place so we can reach a wider group. So that's been nice to know we can, use that in a different way.
Well, I shouldn't be surprised that you're, so philanthropic, because you are from the great state of Michigan, and so we know you were raised right.
Yeah. I know you got a Detroit boy there. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, take a guess where LZ's from, Ryan. Take a wild stab in the dark. Hey, if people want to get involved, if people want to bid on your equipment, how do they do it?
Well, they can go to thesteadfastfoundation.org. That's one way. I'm on social media on Twitter and Instagram, and I've been trying to get, posts or links with everything up there, or else it's in the bio. So like Ryan Miller 3039 for Twitter, and then Ryan Miller Goalie, the most obvious handle available for Instagram. And, I'm trying to get that going. My wife talked to me and they're like, yeah, hey, you got to get on Instagram. So it took a pandemic, but we're doing it.
Whatever it takes.
Ryan Miller up here, dude. You only got 9 pitches up here. What's going on with that? If you're going to do it, you got to go ahead and do it, dog.
I just started, man.
We're going to need a receipt that thing went to the dry cleaner, too, before I make my bid. Ryan Miller, goaler for the Anaheim Ducks. Ryan, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You got it. You too. All right. Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next. So, George, I don't know if you did it on purpose or not, but you got your guy Greg Bergman put on Key's list. And he tried to come on a little earlier and defend himself, and it did not go well for him.
I mean, I didn't put him anything. We were just talking about the parallel universe story, and I asked the simple question I asked of Mace, of everyone on the station, right? And when I asked him about Key, he said, super humble. So that, I didn't do anything but ask the questions of the people on my show, and they, he buried himself.
You set him up for failure, George.
I mean, maybe. But,
I think he's a grown man, and he certainly understood the conversation that he was having with Juan Sedano, and he took part in it and felt the need to address it the way that he did. So therefore, he's put in a position that I'm sure he, over time, will think about and realize that there probably isn't a position that he would want to be in at this current day. And he made the list.
Just made the list.
Oh, there you go. There on the list.
He's on the list. And maybe it doesn't mean anything to him. Maybe.
Right. But he's there.
Yeah. Maybe
he's on it no matter whether he likes it or not.
He could care less because he got the big office now. You can walk down the hall and look in his office and see the glass. And before, he was in a little cubicle in a corner.
Yeah.
And not his back to the wall or to the window, or his face facing his shoulder. They gave him a corner. Now he got the big old office.
Yeah.
He's facing the vending
machines. Feeling himself.
He's feeling himself. It's all good, though.
Yeah. He did nail the Mason one, though. I don't know. And the Ireland one. Did you hear what he said about those?
But wait, George, then he doubled down on it. He called me egotistical.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean,
arrogant, egotistical.
Well, I guess it. And I'm not trying to defend him. I would,
because you one, get on the list too. You go ahead.
Because that egotistical as a word hits differently, I would say. But I would also say that it is the opposite of super humble, isn't it?
Well, as far as I've ever known myself to be,
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying it's the opposite of what he said.
I've been very humble my entire accurate. Life.
Yeah, his vocabulary was on point. Like, if he's saying it's you would be super humble, then the opposite of that would be egotistical. So in that regard, he's correct. I'm not saying anything. I will say this, Key, you and LZ and Travis, I feel like you guys would appreciate this. So I saw this yesterday where the Big Lead wrote a story. This is the times we're in right now, that Rich Eisen had a controversial take because he said that Rudy stunk. And I quote tweeted it and said, I stand with Rich Eisen. Rudy does stink. And I'll double down. I'll add to that and say Hoosier stinks too. And all of a sudden I went to bed and I woke up with Rich Eisen distancing himself from my Hoosiers take while agreeing with me on Rudy. And all of a sudden, my entire mention's blowing up. The Dan Le Batard show is doing a poll about it that has like 10,000 votes.
You do understand that Rudy does stink.
I agree. Sucks. It sucks. Rudy's and so does Hoosiers.
He was bad for a reason.
Yeah.
And Hoosiers play football. Hey. I don't care about all of, it's so cute. He was terrible. So
at
stop.
At some point, the guy that just tries really hard but really sucks becomes not inspirational. He becomes annoying. And Rudy long ago crossed that line from inspirational to annoying because, dude, it's Notre Dame. Get out of here. We've got football players here. We're trying to win some games. Your cute little try-hard thing, we don't have time for that.
You know what's better than Rudy? The Vince Papale story from the Eagles. That's a better story, actually.
Rudy. I'm not going to sit here
and crap all over the Hobbit story. He was a Hobbit one time, and because of that, I just believe in him, so I'm going to ride with Rudy.
Well, and the Hoosiers take, then all of a sudden I got Dave McMiniman and a bunch of people texting me, going, come on, George. And I'm like, Hoosiers, it's supposed to be this movie about teammates and camaraderie. They win because the best player decided to play. Like, that has nothing to do with camaraderie and teammates.
I can't let you talk about Jimmy Chitwood like that. I'm here for Hoosiers. I like Hoosiers. Rudy, we can go back and forth all day about how awful that guy was, but we're going to run the picket fence at him. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. I'm here for Hoosiers.
I'll triple down on this. I think Caddyshack stinks too. How about that? I'd rather watch Happy Gilmore than Caddyshack.
No, now you're out on a very thin. Speaking of, very quickly, George, who do you have tomorrow? Ireland and I. Round two of our little spring shootout. We're doing it tomorrow at Black Gold. Where's your money?
Well, my question is this, before I put down my bet. Ireland, we all know, lives in the ivory tower in Manhattan Beach. So my guess is he's had some chances to play. Have you played at all during the recent pandemic?
Yes, I have played a handful of times in the last couple of weeks.
Then I'll take you.
Just because of the prep time?
Yeah, I just because of that, and I think that, and you beat him last time too, so I feel like you've got the mental edge right now. The pressure's on him.
I think that he's already setting it up, though. He has already texted me saying, hey, you can pick your day off. I feel like he's setting me up for failure.
Oh,
much like you did to Greg Bergman.
He's playing mind games. Look at that.
Well, I mean, you know. So look, here we go. Real quick for you, George Sedano.
Yes.
Top five NBA players currently right now. Give me the list.
LeBron. Does KD count? Like, is he healthy?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
LeBron, KD, Giannis, Steph. Oof, the fifth one is the hard one because you're either going AD or Harden. I would go Harden there.
Ooh.
Ahead of AD.
I would go Harden there because AD, Harden, you could say what you want about Harden is playoff performances, but he's at least been deep in the playoffs. Anthony Davis has not been deep in the playoffs as the prime player.
George, have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Have a fantastic
Don't get put
show.
On the list, George.
You on Tuesday morning.
You're so humble, Key.
We have ears listening
and
everywhere.
Humble, Keyshawn Johnson, 6 a.m. on Tuesday. We'll see you then, 7:10 ESPN.